Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful morning to be gathered here and worshiping. I do welcome you here today and a special welcome to all of our visitors here this morning as well. Before we really get rolling today, we'll go ahead and get through some announcements here. Just a reminder that today is our last day of Sunday school, and that means our summer hours will start next Sunday. Next Sunday, worship service will be at 10 o'clock a.m. instead of 10:45. So be sure to make a note of that. It is also the day when we honor our graduates, so heartfelt congratulations goes out to all of you who are graduating this year. It's we all know the hard work it takes to get through school and finish strong there. So congratulations to you. I hope you all can join us for time of refreshments and fellowship after the service today as we honor our graduates. A note on our church directory. We are still working on that picture directory for the church, and there is a draft copy back there. If you've already had your picture taken or you were in the last directory, go ahead and just make sure that all your information is current and accurate, that we didn't make any mistakes. Take a peek at that draft back there. And if you have not had the chance to get your photos taken yet, go ahead and see Alice. She will be taking photos after the service today. There is a women's ministries meeting for the first Thursday, which is June 2nd. That is going to be happening at 6:30 at Alice's home. The address is listed in your bulletin there. That's an evening of fellowship with some hors d'oeuvres there, treats, that kind of thing. Any questions about that? Her number is there as well. Note, too, that our family Bible camp is coming up fast. You'll see in your bulletin there I've provided you with an insert which conveniently has the sign of the registration form right on the back there. And so if you're planning on attending family camp, which I really hope you do because it's an awesome time, go ahead and fill one of those out. Or if you need more room than that, there are larger versions of the registration form in back of the church there, as well as a box where you can put your completed registration forms. And get those in pretty fairly quickly to make sure that we can feed you and house you. We want to make sure that we have the proper arrangements made before camp actually happens. Any questions about how to register or what goes on at camp, certainly let me know. We are also in need of volunteers for that family camp, teachers, kitchen help, activity leaders, all that kind of stuff. If you think there's anything you can do that way, check out the sign-up sheet in the bulletin board back there and see where you can volunteer for that. As well, you'll notice there's a sign-up sheet for the kitchen for each of the meals that will be happening up there. So if you want to go ahead and put your name down for a meal or two or three, go ahead and look there and sign yourself up as well. Reminder that VBS is set for August 7th through the 11th, 6:30 to 8:45 in the evening. We'll also be needing volunteers for that as well. And reminder, too, that the Summer Book Club with Dale and Becky Wilson is going to be beginning Friday, June 10th. That's going to happen every other week during the summer. And the book that they're going to be going through is The Hole in Our Holiness by Kevin DeYoung. And there's also a sign-up sheet for that in back. Yes?
I forgot to bring the sign-up sheet back, so talk to me if you still want to get a book.
Ah, great. Yep, just talk to Dale if you need a book. He can make sure he has one in your hands before they get started. All righty. A reminder, too, that the coat rack in back there has a few lost and found items. If you want to take a peek and see if there's any articles of clothing back there that you recognize and want to take home, make sure you do that. Come the first of the month, we're going to go ahead and take whatever's left over there and donate them to Love, Inc. So we want to make sure that if there's any clothing that is back there that's yours that you want to keep, you go ahead and grab that today, preferably. Also, an announcement here that there's going to be a graduation party for Ben and Zaytuna at the Austin House today. Or next week, I'm sorry, thank you. 29th. I mean, if you were to show up today, I'm sure they'd be gracious, but they're not ready for you. Sunday, May 29th. That's going to be happening from 5 to 9. It's an open house, so drop by, show up when you can, and that's going to include some dinner and dessert. And that is an open invitation to everybody here at the church. And so I encourage you to go ahead and pay your congratulations to Ben and Zaytuna next Sunday. Past that, are there any announcements that need to get out there this morning? Yes, Jeff.
Well, since we're in Austin, you can come to Cleveland today.
Yes.
The open house for Aaron's graduation reception. Same thing, we're having food, fried chicken, potato salad, et cetera. So please come ready to eat and have pies. So we're advocating for today, so we're going to have pies today.
Ah, great. Great. In case you couldn't hear that, the Clevelands are having their own graduation party today starting at 4 o'clock, so you can definitely drop by the Clevelands house for that today. And if you need to know how to get there, definitely talk to Jeff. Any others? Yes?
So as you can tell, YouTube is off-site for the next 2 weeks. We'll be partying with the graduates.
Awesome.
Bring
the whole family too, youth guys and gals. All right. Such an exciting time of year. Lots and lots going on. Let's begin our worship service in earnest here with our call to worship, which today comes from Psalm 8, verses 1 to 2. And you can find that in your bulletin or up on the screen here this morning. I'll invite you to please read with me as we hear together Psalm 8, 1 to 2. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Who have displayed your splendor above the heavens. From the mouth of infants and nursing babies, you have established strength because of your adversaries to make the enemy and the revengeful cease. Amen to that. And I'll invite you to please just remain seated as we go to our praise courses this morning.
Of God the Father. began. Every star and every planet has been fashioned by your hand. All creation holds together by the power of your voice. Let the skies declare your glory, as the land and seas rejoice. You're the author of creation, you're the Lord of every man, as your cry of love rings out across the lands. Yet you left the gates of angels, came to seek and save the lost, and exchanged the joy of heaven for the anguish of a cross. With the prayer you fed the hungry, with the word you stilled the sea. Yet how silently you suffered, as the guilty make a free. You're the author of creation, you're the Lord of every man, and your cry of love rings out across the land. With a shout you rose victorious, wresting victory from the grave, and ascended into heaven, leading captives in your wake. Now you stand before the Father, who's interceding for your own. From each tribe and tongue and nation, you are leading sinners home. You're the author of creation, you're the Lord of every man, and your cry of love rings out across the land. The mystery of the cross I cannot comprehend. Agonies of Calvary. You, the perfect Holy One, crushed your Son, who drank the bitter cup reserved for me. Your blood has washed away my sin. Jesus, thank you. The Father's wrath completely satisfied. Jesus, thank you. Once your enemy, now seated at your table, Jesus, thank you. By your perfect sacrifice, I've been brought near. Your enemy, you've made your friend. Pouring out the riches of your glorious grace, mercy and kindness know no end. Your blood has washed away my sin, Jesus, thank you. The Father's wrath completely satisfied, Jesus, thank you. Once your enemy, now seated at your table, Jesus, thank you. Lover of my soul, I want to live for you. Of my soul, I want to live for you. Redeemer of my soul, I want to live for you. Perfecter of my soul, I want to live for you. Washed away my sin, Jesus, thank you. The Father's wrath completely satisfied, Jesus, thank you. Once your enemy, now seated at your table, Jesus, thank you.
All right, and our first hymn this morning is hymn number 28 in your hymnals. Hymn number 28 is "O Worship the King." And I'll invite you to please stand as you're finding that, as we do precisely that, worship the King.
Worship the King of glorious above, and gratefully sing His power and His love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, a brilliant in splendor and girded with praise. Oh, tell of His might, oh, sing of His grace, whose robe is the light and canopy's face. His chariots of wrath, the deep thunder clouds form, and dark is His path from the wings of the storm. Thy bountiful care, what tongue can recite? It breathes in the air, it shines in the light. It streams from the hills, it descends to the plain, and sweetly distills in the dew and the rain. The children of dust and feeble as frail, in Thee do we trust, nor find Thee to fail. Thy mercies how tender, how firm to the end, our Maker, Defender, Redeemer and Friend.
Thank you so much for your singing. You may be seated. And at this time, I'd like to invite up Derek Snow, who has our scripture reading here this morning.
Good morning. I'll be reading from Titus chapter 2. Starting at verse 11, I often think that the world needs more superheroes, not superheroes as the comic books like Superman and such, but regular people doing extraordinary things for people and for saving people for Christ's kingdom, not by their power, but by the Holy Spirit's power. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessings, hope, and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, whom gave Himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for Himself a people of His own possession who are zealous for good works. Declare these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority, let no one discard you. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient and ready for every good work, to speak evil to no one, to avoid quarrelsome, and be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy towards all people. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hatred, hated by others and hating others. But when the goodness of and love of loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of the works we've done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable to people.
Thank you, Derek, so much for sharing that passage with us today. That's a perfect passage for this time of year. We've left the Easter season behind, and now we're into the season of Pentecost, according to the church calendar. And Pentecost is that time when we recognize that all believers have been given the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that first creates faith in us, that saves us, but that same Holy Spirit that creates all that goodness, those good works and whatnot, that the believer is now called to, that scripture passage precisely teaches about. So, wonderful reminder there this morning. Well, another thing the Holy Spirit helps us with is our prayer, helping us to know how to pray, and interceding, or rather bringing our prayers to God. And we get to do that every Sunday together as a church family, praying with each other. And so before we go to prayer this morning, we'll ask if there are any special prayer requests that we can share together this morning. Yes. Unfortunately, grief is a part and parcel of this broken world we live in. We'll definitely be praying for those who've lost loved ones. Thank you. Yeah. Graduation is exciting, but it involves huge, huge decisions going forward. And so we'll definitely be praying for guidance and clarity for them. Yeah. You bet. Keep our most recent baptized children in your prayers. Zoe, Axel, and Madrox. Hopefully we'll continue to provide opportunities to bring the word to them.
My parents are gone traveling this week. They went to Alaska. It was a safe travel for them.
Oh, a real nice time. Great. We'll be praying for them as they travel for sure. And you've got a doctor's note to prove that you haven't lost your mind. That's great. Well, I'll certainly be praising God with you there, Jeannie. Well, if there are no others, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God and Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise your name for gathering us here together this morning. Thank you for this opportunity to sing your praises and hear from your word. Lord, we thank you for this church family and the way we're able to gather and care for one another and teach one another. Lord, as we pray to you, we look inward and we know what your word says about us is true. We know that we are sinners, that we have sinned against you in the things that we do, in the things that we say, the things that we think. So, Lord God, we fall on your mercy and we thank you for the wonderful gift of Jesus Christ on the cross, who took all those sins and paid for every last one of them, paid for them in full, so that we might be restored to you through faith, and that you would bring us new life, a new life that lives to honor you and to bring glory to your name. God, we pray for our loved ones. We especially think of those who are struggling with the loss of a loved one of their own. We think of those who are mourning right now and pray your comfort and your sympathy on them. God, we pray for our graduates. As they've closed a chapter in their lives, a chapter of education and learning, we pray that that education would be put to new use in the future as they make decisions on where to go next and what to do next. Lord, we pray for your hand of guidance and your wisdom as they make these decisions. Lord, we pray for little Zoe, Axel, and Madrox, as they've been baptized into your name, and pray that they would have opportunities to come and to hear your word, to hear that word that gives them faith and preserves them in faith. Lord, we pray that that family situation would be calm and fruitful, that the difficulties in health and whatnot that occur there would be mitigated by your holy hand. Lord, we think of the Doinkles as they're traveling right now, too. We pray that their travels would be safe, that this time of rest for them would be just enjoyable, and that as they travel to Alaska, they'd have all kinds of opportunities to see the glory of your creation up there. Lord, we give you praise for the wonderful healing you have shown to Jeannie. We thank you for the healing of the stroke and the returning of her mental faculties after it. Lord, we pray that you just continue to preserve her in health and heal up any last remnants of this stroke that occurred. Lord, we pray for Rita and the struggle she's continuing with her battle with cancer. We pray for her treatments, that they would be productive, that they would eliminate this cancer that is attacking her body. Lord, we pray that you give wisdom to her doctors as they care for her. Pray the same thing for Kendra. We pray as she goes through her treatments that you would work your healing miracles in her, that the treatments that she is receiving would be productive and that the side effects from them would be minimal. Lord, we pray for a complete and utter healing for her to the glory of your name. Lord, we think the same thing for Judy, as she's been going through surgeries to repair and strengthen her bones. We think of Walter and his struggles with cancer. Lord, we also think of his struggles with faith and pray that you would speak truth to him. Lord, we pray for Jamie Miller's dad, too, as he struggles with the cancer that is attacking his brain. Lord, we pray for healing and comfort for him. Lord, we pray for all those who are healing up. We think of Virginia as she's recovering from her own stroke. We thank you for the healing that you've done in her so far. We thank you for the healing you've shown Vivian and the opportunity for her to come back and join us again. We think of Robin and the surgery she needs on her knee. We pray that you would keep her from pain and speed her way to recovery. Lord, we consider, we do think of Larry too and the multitude of troubles that he has. We pray for healing and comfort for him. And the same thing for Erin. We pray that you would give her strength and endurance and that you would heal her up from this illness that is attacking her. Oh God, we pray for all of those that are dear to us that are struggling with illness or tough times in their lives right now. We pray for those who are not able to join us today. We pray that they would have opportunity to worship where they are and to hear your word. Lord, we pray for this congregation. We pray that we would be your missionaries here in this world, that we would heed the call to go and make disciples of all nations, that we would go out there and preach your gospel in its purity to everyone we come in contact with out of love for all of our neighbors. Lord God, we pray all these things, thanking you for this opportunity to pray, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty. For our special music this morning, I will invite up the men's chorus. We picked a familiar song this time around, and it's a good thing because our practices have been sporadic. We think we're going to do okay. So men's chorus, why don't you come on up and join me here this morning. Well, if you would, turn with me to our next hymn this morning, which is hymn number 298. Hymn number 298 is Only Trust Him. And please rise as you're able as we sing this hymn together. Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. For Jesus shed His precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. Yes, Jesus is the truth, the way that leads you into rest. Believe in Him without delay, and you are fully blessed. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. Thank you. You may be seated. And now we will turn to worshiping our Lord with the giving of our offerings. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for this opportunity to support Your work and Your mission. Lord, we pray that as You receive these gifts, that You would take them and multiply them. Give us wisdom as how to make them work for Your kingdom and for Your glory. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll invite you to turn with me to our next hymn this morning, hymn number 401. In your hymnals, 401 is Sitting at the Feet of Jesus. And again, please rise as we worship together in song. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, oh, what words I hear Him say. Happy place so near, so precious, may it find me there each day. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, I would look upon the past, for His love has been so gracious, it has won my heart at last. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, where can mortal be more blessed? There I lay my sins and sorrows, and when weary find sweet rest. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, there I love to weep and pray. Well, I from His fullness gather grace and comfort every day. Bless me, O my Savior, bless me, as I sit low at Your feet. Oh, look down in love upon me, let me see Your face so sweet. Give me, Lord, the mind of Jesus, make me holy as He is. May I prove I've been with Jesus, always all my righteousness. Well, please remain standing as we turn to our scripture passage this morning, which now comes from John chapter 8. I'll be reading verses 48 through 59. I'll give you a moment to find that in your Bibles. John 8, 48 to 59. And in these verses, Jesus has a teaching opportunity, you could say, before some of the Jews, especially the ruling class of the Jews, as they're questioning Him and trying to figure out exactly who He claims Himself to be. So this is John 8, verses 48 through 59, reading in Jesus' name. The Jews answered and said to Him, "Do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. But I do not seek my glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." The Jews said to Him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, and the prophets also. And you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste of death. Surely you are not greater than our father Abraham, who died. The prophets died too. Whom do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say He is our God. And you have not come to know Him, but I know Him. And if I say that I do not know Him, I will be a liar like you. But I do know Him and keep His word. Your father, Abraham, rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." So the Jews said to Him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am." Therefore they picked up stones to throw at Him, but Jesus hid Himself and went out of the temple. This ends the reading of God's word. You may be seated. Well, that escalated quickly, right? Starts right off the bat. Aren't we right when we say you're a Samaritan and you're demon-possessed? It's pretty harsh, isn't it? Well, if you put this episode in context, you'll see that Jesus has just finished explaining to the Jews that they don't believe him. The Jews don't believe Jesus because they are not of God. And even worse than not being of God, that they are of their father, the devil. So, yeah, by the time we get to our passage today, the Jews are getting pretty angry with Jesus. I mean, how dare this Jesus tell them, the Jews, God's chosen people, that they are not from God, but that they're from the devil? They've got 4,000 years of history telling them that they're not from, that they are from God. You can't just up and tell them that they're from the devil. And they've got every right to be angry. That is, if Jesus weren't telling them the truth. But the problem is, Jesus is telling them the truth. And their anger toward him is not justified at all. Throughout this whole conversation between Jesus and these Jews, the Jews have stubbornly refused to believe his word. And it's been that stubborn unbelief that has made them children of the devil, rather than children of God. Their physical heritage, their lineage, all the way back to Abraham, has no bearing on whether or not they are children of God. Being of God was always about believing God. And because they do not believe God, because they do not believe that his Son has come in the flesh, just as God has always promised them, they are no longer of God. But no matter how many times Jesus stakes his claim, no matter how many times he earnestly pleads for them to stop their stubbornness and to believe his word, their unbelief continues. And that unbelief comes out in the strongest of terms. They say, Do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Now here's where we need to stop a bit and understand exactly what it is that the Jews are saying to Jesus here. The demon bit's pretty easy to understand, right? You know, you got a demon, you're stark raving mad. You're speaking nothing but lies. That's what they're saying there. But this Samaritan bit, I want you to understand just how much of an insult this really is. Because when you hear the word Samaritan, the first thing to pop in your mind might be the story of the Good Samaritan. And you might think, well, that's not the worst thing somebody could call me. Well, you'd be wrong in that. You see, by using the Samaritan as an insult in reference to Jesus, they are throwing the insult of insults at him. To give you appreciation of what is being said here, take a moment to imagine the most vile, hateful, racial slur you can imagine. That's what these Jews are saying to Jesus here. To be a Samaritan is to be a fake Jew, a false Jew, a half-blooded crossbreed parading around as a true Jew when you're nothing of the sort. These Jews here could not have come up with a more insulting and hurtful word to throw at Jesus. But look at Jesus' response to them. It's beautiful. First off, he doesn't even dignify the Samaritan comment with a reply. I don't have a demon, he says. Quite the contrary. I'm honoring my Father. And while I'm honoring my Father, you are dishonoring me. See, Jesus makes their guilt plain to them. Right out of the gate, he makes their guilt plain to them. Through their unbelief, by proxy of dishonoring him, these Jews are dishonoring the Father. Because of their refusal to believe that Jesus is their Messiah, they are doing God the Father the greatest of dishonors, blaspheming his holy name and disbelieving his holy word. And isn't that a great response? See, Jesus here, he could have taken and get really red in the face and get hopping mad, right? He could have really laid into them and just put them right in their place. But you see, he doesn't stoop to their level. He doesn't start calling them names right back. He simply speaks nothing but the truth. He's doing nothing but honoring his father by speaking the truth. And so why isn't he getting upset? Well, the next thing he says explains it all. I don't seek my glory. I don't seek my own glory. There's one who seeks and judges. He doesn't need to get upset here. Because if Jesus were seeking the approval and the admiration and glory from people around him, yeah, maybe he would get upset. But he isn't seeking that. He doesn't need to seek glory. He doesn't need his glory to come from people around him because there's one who seeks his glory, God the Father. And so it's going to be God the Father himself that is going to give Jesus this glory once his work on earth is done. And he has the utmost confidence and comfort in knowing that it will be the cross and the resurrection that lead him to glory, not the empty words of men around him. See, their lack of glorifying him, their judgment of him, they mean absolutely nothing to him. Because God the Father will glorify him. And the Father's judgment of him as perfect and holy, that's assured. And so Jesus just lets the insults roll off his back, meaningless as they are. And then he hits him with the law, right? Which we all know, the law is intended to convict the heart of sin. He hits them with the fact that they are dishonoring the Son and the Father, and that he is beholden to the one that judges all people. He shows them that they're sinful in the hopes that they would see their need to be saved from their sin. And now what does Jesus do right after? He hits them with the law? Hits them with the gospel. Right? Shows them that there's hope yet. If only they would stop refusing to believe and keep his word instead, sin and death will not touch them. Isn't that remarkable? Even after being accosted with the worst insults imaginable, Jesus keeps his cool and keeps trying to save their souls. He keeps trying to convict their consciences so that they would know their need of a Savior. And he keeps hoping that they're going to take him at his word when he says that he will save them from the eternal death that their sin has bought them. But the sad news is that the Jews, they're still not buying it. After all, Abraham and the prophets died. The holiest people they know of, they all died. What's this not seeing death business? It doesn't make any sense. No one can save a person from death except God. Does this Jesus think he is greater than Abraham and all the prophets? No way. Can't be. Just who do you think you are, Jesus? I still don't believe. And at this point, you would think that Jesus would just give up on them, turn his back and walk away. Or instead of turning around and walking away, unleashes fury at them finally. You'd think he'd have enough by now. I know if it were me and I were talking to people this stubborn, I'd be tempted to walk away and say good luck. Truth be told, I'm not sure I would have made it this far. Fortunately, I'm not Jesus. Jesus does a whole lot better than I would have. You see, he still doesn't have his hackles up. And calm as ever, what does he do? Yeah, he hits them again with the law. And he hits them again with the gospel. He says, I'm glorified by God, that same God that you claim to be your Father. But you do not know God. You refuse to believe God at his word. There's the law. That's the sin that is separating these Jews from God. Jesus came to bring God's truth that through him, sin is paid for and death is conquered. And because they refuse to believe this truth, they do not know God. By proclaiming this law to them, Jesus wants them to be cut to the heart. Jesus wants them to cry out for forgiveness so that they would then receive this blessed gospel. Abraham rejoiced to see my day. There's the gospel. Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. If these Jews would only listen and hear, if only they would stop with their stubborn unbelief, they would have their blinders taken off, and they would see what Abraham saw. They would rejoice in what Abraham rejoiced in. The promise fulfilled at the coming of their Savior, Jesus Christ. But unbelief is persistent. You're not even 50 years old, and you're saying that you've seen Abraham? All right. Nobody in this crowd has seen Abraham. It was thousands of years ago. That's crazy talk. And so to round out our passage today, Jesus hits them with the most powerful truth he has spoken yet. Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. In these words, Jesus spoke the most powerful truth ever spoken. He brought to their ears all the wonder and the mystery of the truth about God. See, their hero, the one they consider their father, Abraham, he was a man. Abraham had a beginning. His very existence had a starting point. And so Jesus purposefully sets himself up against Abraham, simultaneously answering their question about whether or not he is greater than Abraham, and also revealing to them who he truly is. You see, while Abraham's existence had a beginning, even before Abraham was born, Jesus Christ existed. Jesus Christ has an existence which never began. The Son of God always existed. There was never a point at which he did not exist. And therefore, even before Abraham was born, Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ existed when Abraham was born. Jesus Christ existed when God first made his promise to bless all nations through his lineage. Jesus Christ existed when Abraham believed God and when he thus rejoiced, seeing through the eyes of faith that day when Jesus Christ would come in flesh to accomplish everything that God had promised him. And now, it's time for Jesus to leave. The unbelief of the Jews turned his word of truth into blasphemy, and they got to kill him for that. So they set out to at least keep one little portion of God's word. That's Leviticus 24:16. And stone this blasphemer to death. That's not Jesus' time to die yet, and so he slips away and hides, and that's the end of that. End of story. Or at least the end of this part of the story. So that was my little commentary on the events of this passage. You've seen how these Jews' unbelief has consistently rejected Jesus' words. And you've seen how Jesus commonly and consistently kept trying to persuade them to see their sin and trust in him for forgiveness and everlasting life. And right there is a really good what would Jesus do kind of moment for us, right? But before I get into that, I want to bring out the one person in the story who is perhaps the most important one to dwell on here, and that's Abraham. Jesus lifts Abraham up as a paragon of faith. Right? Just like we see in Romans 4, Abraham is the example that Jesus uses to contrast these Jews' lack of faith. When Jesus says that Abraham saw Jesus' day and rejoiced, see, Jesus isn't entertaining some fanciful notion that Abraham is up there in heaven looking down right now watching Jesus have this conversation. That's the idea that people can look down from heaven and see what's going on earth is an invention of romantic minds. It really has no basis in Scripture. But instead, what Jesus is saying here is that through faith, By believing and trusting God at His word, Abraham believed God's promise of a Messiah. And he's saying that Abraham believed that promise so fully, so deeply, that through that faith, Abraham could see without a doubt that Jesus' work of salvation was going to come. And that's really important for us to understand today. Because we weren't there to watch Jesus walk the earth. We weren't there to witness His earthly ministry. We weren't there to witness His death on the cross firsthand. We weren't there to see His resurrection from the dead or His ascension into heaven. We're not old enough to have been around when all that came to pass, right? So we're really not that different from Abraham. The only difference is that for him, the cross of Christ was in the future, and for us, it's in the past. But just like Abraham, you and me, we get to rejoice because we have seen that day. When God's word came to Abraham and promised that the entire world would be blessed through his offspring, he rejoiced. And now, you and I, when we crack open these Bibles, God's word comes to us. It tells us of Jesus Christ, tells us how his death on the cross paid for all our sins, and how the resurrection gives promise of eternal life. And we rejoice. We rejoice because through this word we have seen that day through the eyes of faith. Now, of course, the world around you is going to sound very much like the Jews in our passage today. You're going to run into people that just don't get it, who say, as they're looking at your faith, they're going to say, how can you believe this? You don't know who this Jesus person is and what he did. You weren't there to witness this Jesus person, even if he did exist. You weren't there to see him die or to raise to life again or any of that. For that matter, your own sinful nature might try to whisper those words of doubt into you. But you see, when those times come, your answer is, God's word has come to me. I have seen that day when God's promises were fulfilled by Christ, and I am rejoicing. No reason to get wound up. No reason to get defensive. Nothing but the utmost calm and peace, where you rest in the knowledge that through this word, you have seen the day of your salvation. And all that leaves us with is, what to do with those folks who don't share this faith with us? What do we do with those folks that are hostile to what we believe? Now, if I'm going to be honest here, I know that what my first reaction is. I'm going to want to grab them by the collar, give them a good shake, right? No. Hollering at them until I feel better isn't probably going to accomplish much. But fortunately, this word has also let me know that my first response to these kinds of situations is more often than not the response that my sinful nature wants to make. Probably not the one that God wants me to make. Instead, maybe we can look at how Jesus deals with such people. Instead of meeting their hate with hate of our own, maybe we can take a deep breath and dare to love them enough to keep bringing them the truth. Maybe we can love them enough to hope that their unbelief will finally melt away and that they would come to believe this word. We can keep letting them know that because of their unbelief, they are not children of God, but children of the devil, slaves of the sin that they were born with, and destined to be eternally separated from God. And at the very same time, keep telling them, keep letting them know that if they would just believe this word, they will forever be children of God, and that they will never see death. that the promise of Christ has been there right from the beginning, and that you personally have seen your salvation. Hit them with the law. Hit them with the gospel. Both. Always both. Never one without the other. And keep bringing God's truth to them, hoping for that time when they too will see their salvation. That's the mission we're on. That's the mission we're on. Love people enough to bring them the truth. All of it. Truth of their sin. Truth of Christ. And we keep doing it just as long as we can. Until they pick up stones with which to kill you. Then you can run away. Let's pray. Our Lord God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful retelling of this event in our Savior's life. We thank you that in the midst of just hostility, anger, Jesus stood firm. That he did not devolve into name-calling and hostility of his own, but just kept speaking that truth. Lord, we pray that as you work in us, as you work to create new hearts in us, that we would have that same boldness in a world that is often hostile to your word. We pray that you would give us that same boldness to speak up about what people's sins are in the hopes that they'd be convicted and seek a Savior so that we can, right then and there, tell them the good news of Jesus Christ our Lord. And I pray that you give us the words to speak and the opportunities to bring this good news into the world. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, speaking of never seeing death, our last hymn today is hymn number 468. Which is In the Sweet By and By. I'll invite you to turn with me to hymn number 468. And please rise one last time as we sing together.
There's a land that is fairer than day. And by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed, and our spirit shall sorrow no more. Not a sigh for the blessing of rest. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. To our best O Father above, he will offer our tribute of praise for the glorious gift of his love and the blessings that hallow our days. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on the beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet them a beautiful shore.
receive this benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. Amen.